Yeah, that's the plan, and that's the plan we're working on. Obviously, the difference is that the Department of Education is not in a position to make a unilateral decision on any matter anymore because of COVID-19. We will be informed by the health advice and the health authorities, so we're waiting and we'll be monitoring really closely, and we're in contact, our officials in the Department of Education are in contact with the health officials for the new restrictions that will be put in place next week. So look, we will be informed by those new restrictions, but for the moment, the message is quite clear, you know, stick to the plan in terms of the Leaving Cert happening and the Junior Cert, and the focus will remain up until a point when we're in a position to give different advice, or whether we're in a position to take different advice from the health authorities. But one of the things that's quite clear, the effort and time and commitment that Leaving Cert students have been putting in to their exams has been phenomenal. Yes, there are challenges. Yes, there are gaps. And it's not the usual normal situation as we're all finding ourselves in now. And my ask, and this is not an instruction by any means, my ask of the Leaving Cert students is to continue to stay in touch with their teachers. The teachers are moving mountains to try to engage and use new platforms, and it's not simple, it's not easy, it's difficult, and I also know that there's a fear out there as well, there's an uncertainty that we're all feeling, and Leaving Cert students are no different in that regard.
I mean, each student will react or perform better with this sort of style of remote learning. Many students, and perhaps those who have to work the hardest to achieve results, would be struggling in this environment without sort of class-based teaching. Is it fair on those students, and they're probably, you know, a decent sized minority, if not a slight majority, is it fair on those to make them sit exams when they haven't had the advantage of that class-based learning? In other words, you know, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater either.
Yeah, no, that's a very fair point, because different people have different skills and different ways of doing things, and I know this is sitting a big percentage of students as well, you know, in terms of their own self-motivation, their time management, and also prioritisation. And that's a difficult thing that we all find hard to do, not just a Leaving Cert student. So what I would like at least 2 weeks of class time before the Leaving Cert, so that will give students an idea of the trajectory and time that we would need them back in the classroom.
So I'm not painting you into a corner on that, but that's quite important. So really, the solution to this, and it all depends on restrictions and whether they'll be tightened and then maybe they'll be lifted even temporarily, the working theory, your preference at the very least, would be that a lockdown or this shutdown, whichever the terminology you prefer, would have been lifted before exams are sat, at least in terms of children.
Yeah, and that's based on a big assumption. It's based on the assumption that we're going to flatten this curve. It's based on the assumption that everything that people are doing throughout the country, throughout our county at the moment, and the people who have been so, so responsible in staying indoors, self-isolating, that's working on the assumption that we're going to flatten this curve, you know, even prior to the Easter weekend. But obviously, I'm not in the mix in terms of having information to where we'll be in 3-4 weeks' time. But next week, we will be informed next week by the health officials in terms of further restrictions. And if there are going to be further restrictions, and if that means schools are going to have to stay closed longer, we will have to make decisions around that.
But would you consider bringing schools back if the ducks lined up for a couple of weeks in the summer, for example? You're not ruling that out, are you? Or are you?
Yeah, I don't. Look, we're all... I think the nature of Irish people are we're realists, number one, but also we live in hope, and we live, you know, in that hope piece that life will get back to normal, and the people who have to endure so many difficulties and dealing with people who are sick at the moment and dealing with bereavements that was just discussed before I came on, all these issues are so, so difficult for people, and we all live in hope that there will be a better day, but we all live in hope that better day will be sooner rather than later. But look, we're realists as well, and we have to be informed, and we are informed by what's happening internationally. But one thing is for sure at the moment, and this seems to be the feedback coming back at a community level, is that people are complying, people are self-isolating, people are being careful. And if we continue in that vein, hopefully we'll be in a position to be out of this.
Sooner rather than later, yeah.
Sooner rather than later.
So really, we're not working on the theory of a digital solution to exams. It would be, realistically speaking, even if it means pushing it into next year, presumably, that there would be school time and people would sit them in something close to a traditional manner. You wouldn't be exploring technological solutions to this.
Look, we've explored everything, we've looked at everything, but that particular option is an option for, and it's a solution for third level. A lot of students will be able to do their examinations in different colleges, and I know that's happening in our own IoT in Letterkenny, and that is a solution for third level, but it's not a solution for second level. We're entering a whole new phase of using technology, remote learning. This is the first time we've ever had this remote learning. A lot of third level students do this quite often. You know, this is part of their world, but it's not part of the post-primary school world.
I mean, would it be the end of the world if students had to sit their leaving certs next year and go into college a year later? It wouldn't be the end of the world. I mean, we're having to cope with so much right now and adapt so much right now. And hopefully these people will enjoy lives well into their 90s, even beyond by the time they reach those years. It wouldn't be the end of the world, would it, to defer everything for a year so that we're all to our maximum health and it'll all balance itself out in a short time thereafter.
The difficulty with that option is, if these Leaving Cert students were to defer to next year, basically they lose a year, and that doesn't just impact on Leaving Cert, that works the whole way back down even into affecting primary school sector. So we're working on the understanding that that will not be an option to defer to next year, and that would be totally unfair to the students that have put in such a massive, massive effort to work towards the deadline of the Leaving Cert this year. So that is something that we're certainly not focusing on, because it's
the ramifications would be huge. I understand that. Okay. Junior Cert, what's the story with Junior Cert? I mean, maybe there isn't the same pressures on it. I'm not suggesting for a second you wouldn't have the same focus on it, but what do you envisage with the Junior Cert?
I think the Junior Cert, like the Leaving Cert, I think will be informed by the decisions next week by the health officials. Let's call a spade, the Leaving Cert is a priority. But the junior cycle is a critical element as well of the post-primary school system. And I know all the new CBAs, all the continuous-based assessment, a lot of work has gone into the junior cycle. And I know the junior cycle students who are studying today and studying for exams, they're continuing to focus as well. So look, up until a point where we're faced with a decision by the health officials that something is practical, something is not practical, we will be informed by that. So next week will be a critical week as well.
And obviously, finally, without preempting what is announced next week, the general sense I'm getting, not the general sense, but from some quarters, is that we might actually see restrictions being tightened up even further, maybe as it relates to inward travel, maybe more firm powers for Gardaí to make sure that the small amount of people that are flouting the strong advice are doing so. Is that the way you anticipate us going next?
Yeah, look, I think there's a massive public appetite, number one, to keep, for the people who are acting responsible, to keep doing what we're doing. And the second thing is an appeal for the people who are not complying or not taking that responsible position. And unfortunately, if more enforcement is needed around that, that's something the public will demand. So my guess would be that, yes, there will be more restrictions in terms of the people who are not complying. But overall, the phenomenal public response and that public appetite for doing the right thing and that public sacrifice, that individual sacrifice and that difficulty. And grandparents, I know at the moment, are finding it extremely, extremely difficult, but they're willing to forbear, not being able to hug their grandchildren on the basis that we will get out the other side. Mm-hmm. And that leadership has been absolutely phenomenal. And I think, you know, younger generation sees the sacrifices that it sees, do see the sacrifice a certain generation is making, but young people are responding as well. Young people are staying indoors, and that's difficult as well. And I know, you know, we talked about cabin fever for years in conversation, but look, people are finding ways around that. Mm-hmm. People, my advice is stay connected to people, obviously through technology, and you know, people are doing that, and just keep the focus on that the hope will be that we're out of this and we'll get out the other end. And I know we're not going to get out the other end unscathed. There's going to be loss. There's going to be, you know, there is going to be mourning. There is going to be an enormous impact on our society. But the more we collectively, which is a contradiction, the more we collectively stay apart, the more united we will be in combating this almighty fight.
Yeah, one last question. Contacted by a number of SNAs that are concerned that with them being moved into different areas with no childcare available to them, they don't know what they're going to do in that regard. Are there any measures in place from your perspective there?
Yeah, look, this is a scheme which had to be formalised. My preference initially was that if it had been done on a voluntary basis, that would have been my preference. But when we looked at it, in order to reassign staff from any sector, you have to go through the publicjobs.ie and through the different structure in terms of making it a formal reassignment. So, because you're talking about a big number, 16,000 SNAs, as of yesterday morning, 5,200 signed up straight away. That was after the announcement. I know there are particular challenges for some SNAs in terms of childcare cover, and there are challenges in that regard, but there are options for SNAs to work remotely as well. That is an option for them to do, where they stay in touch with the young person, and this is specifically working, engaging with young people with disabilities. So having that point-to-point contact, and some SNAs are already doing that. I know from a number of schools in the county here, feedback from principals, their SNAs are already engaged on that. They have a very close working relationship with some of their students in the mainstream schools. They're staying in touch with them. So it's a way of formalising that. And my message to the SNAs, and they know the skill set they have, they know the capacity they have, they know the ability they have. And this is not about creating something that will work against them. This is about trying to encourage as many people to come forward, and with 5,200 people signed up within a number of hours of being announced, I think that's a sign that people want to do it. But I know there will be challenges for some, you know.
But you'll work with them, that's what you're saying, is it?
Yeah, we'll work with them, absolutely. We'll work with them, the schools will work with them, and you know, having a support for a young person with a disability on the other end of the phone and online in a structured way as well, that will be really, really important, as well as a one-to-one.